and especially to hear the wonderful things God's doing in the Philippines. So God bless you as you come and speak to us this morning.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. I love your pastor. He's a genuine, sincere, kind man of God, and I just appreciate your pastor, and I appreciate the privilege to be here. Thank you, church, for being a part of what God's doing in the Philippines, and we count it a great honor, and we're very appreciative. We have gratitude. We're thankful. I can't think of any more words, but we're all of them. And for our partnership together. This morning, I'd like to talk about that partnership that we have in missions. And we're going to find this text in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And how many of you were not here during the Sunday school hour? You were not here during the Sunday school hour, okay? So basically, I showed some slides and shared some stories of the Philippines. And there is one story that I will continue this morning as well. Somebody asked me before, how do you preach? What's your preaching style? And I said, well, my dad is Italian, so I'm half Italian, so I use a lot of hand motions, but my mom's Filipino. In the Philippines, when a pastor preaches, they always preach for more than 1 hour. Okay? Now, you should be blessed. I'm only half Filipino, so it's only 30 minutes. Amen. All right, and I'll get you out by 12 midnight. So, but what a privilege! In the book of Philippians, it's a very wonderful. How many read the whole book? Amen. And you'll find this theme throughout the whole book. You'll find the theme of joy, J-O-Y. Isn't it a wonderful theme? How many want to have real joy in your life? How many understand the difference between happiness and joy? Amen? Happiness can happen from something or someone or something, but it's often fleeting. It won't last long, but joy is deeper. It lasts longer. It is something that only few things can give. And the Apostle Paul here, he speaks about this joy in the book of Philippians. When you get in the beginning of the book, he talks about joy through anxiety and having joy through depression, joy in the presence of God and so forth. And when you get to the last part of the book of Philippians, there's four chapters, he speaks about joy through a missions partnership. Let me say that again. He speaks about joy through a missions partnership. And if you could, for a few moments, I know you've been standing all day singing all these wonderful songs, okay? But could I have you stand one more time as we read the text together? Philippians chapter 4, please, and then look with me at verse number 10. Philippians 4, verse 10. And I'm going to read our text, and just follow me with your eyes as I read here. The Bible says in verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Say amen to that. Verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And shall we read verse 19 together? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, for a few moments, God, would you open up our hearts to be receptive to your word. And Lord, would you allow your Holy Spirit to mold us and make us what we need to be this morning? Lord, I pray that you would allow the truth of your word to touch our hearts, And I pray, Lord, we would not leave the same that we came today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing. When we think of the book of Philippians, we automatically think about the Apostle Paul and his mission work that he had at Philippi. Now, for those of you who are familiar with the Scriptures, you already know some of the members of the Church of Philippi. Let me refresh you, if I may. One of them was a businesswoman who sold purple. Her name was Lydia. She was a businesswoman who had a ministry with no local church until the Apostle Paul came, and now she was a businesswoman with a ministry in a local church. Amen. And God used her to be a blessing and to have that church founded there in Philippi. Let me also refresh you that at this time of the writing of the Apostle Paul, there's a young lady in the church. She's not a teenager anymore. She may be a mother and married by now, or we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. We can only have some conjecture about it. But she was originally a fortune teller teenage woman. Teenage young lady, and when she was healed, the owners that kept her as a fortune teller, they filed a case again in their government, and there was a big uproar in the city. Well, that young lady, she's also a member of the Church of Philippi now. God healed her; she was no longer demon possessed. Amen. But one of my favorite members of this church is a former suicidal jail guard. How many remember the story of Paul and Silas, and they were singing in the prison that night, and I can only imagine what they were singing in the jail. I don't know. Our chains are fast and tight, down in the jail tonight. I don't know. And they may have been singing something like that, and as they were singing in the jail, the Bible says there was a great earthquake, and all those jail cell doors opened. Amen. But the jail guard knows that if one prisoner escapes, according to the law, he is dead. So he took out his sword, and Paul and Silas heard it, and Paul yelled, "Do thyself no harm." The Bible says that jail guards sprang into their jail cell and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The Bible says that he was saved that night, and his wife, and his children, and that same night they were baptized. What a wonderful membership here at the Church of Philippi. As the Apostle Paul writes them, he knows these people personally. He was there when they first got saved. And these are only a few of the members of Philippi that we would know of at this time. Of course, there's many people in the church at Philippi that the Bible does not record, and God did not record them for us to learn. But you can just imagine how excited the Apostle Paul was. In fact, he was not just happy, he was full of joy. Look at verse number 10. "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again." If you're taking notes, could you write this down? I want to talk to you about joy in missions. Joy in missions. Would you agree today as a Christian, there is no greater joy than to be part of God's master plan to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's no greater joy as a Christian. You can own hundreds and hundreds of acres of property, and it does not compare to the joy of seeing one person saved. To seeing an eternity of somebody on their way to hell and to see them be saved. The first thing I'd like to share to you in this model of joy, I see the Church of Philippi was a model of missions. I see the church, I see the Apostle Paul. He was a model missionary. And we see a great model here. The first thing I want you to see is the joyful example. The joyful example. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, "Now at the last, your care of me has flourished again." The church of Philippi was an example of care. They cared for their missionaries. Church, thank you for caring for us as your missionaries. We feel blessed today. Thank you, ladies, for doing something special for my wife. I always try to do something special for her, but I could never repay the kindness and blessing of a great and godly wife. Amen? Literally, her price is far above rubies. You could never repay that. Unless you found a diamond mine with rubies in it, you know? But I do want to mention that the church of Philippi here was an example of care. Care for your missionaries. I believe a good church, a healthy church, is a church that has these things around their sanctuary, around the auditorium. Prayer letters, and there's missionaries, and you're not just a lighthouse for the gospel here in Pennsylvania, but you're a lighthouse for the gospel all around the world. What an example of care. You care for souls. You care for missionaries. The church of Philippi was the same. If you go down to verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I see the Apostle Paul was an example of contentment. How many struggle with contentment? Let's be honest. You get the newest phone, and you're so happy until the next advertisement comes out for the upgraded version of that phone. And now you're not content anymore. Sometimes you get something new and shiny, and you're so happy, well, this is great, and then in a few months or a few weeks, you're not content anymore with it. The church of Philippi, the Apostle Paul, he was an example of contentment. I believe many times in America, we've been so blessed. Can I just say this? In America, we buy things we don't need, we spend money we don't have to impress people we don't like. Isn't that funny how it works? My wife and I, we just arrived in the Philippines. She's only been here for about 8 months. So about in summer last year, we just arrived here. We're driving through the countryside and in the southeast over there. We're driving. And my wife just, she says, babe. I said, yes, babe. She said, I have a question. I said, what is it? Is it a theological question? She said, no. I just want to know, why are there houses next to the houses? I said, well, what are you talking about? And she said, look, there's a house. And then next to the house, there's another house. I said, yeah, you're right. And you know what she noticed? They don't have these in the Philippines. She noticed that the houses had a huge garage next to the house. So I said, yeah, it's funny how in America, we are so blessed that we had to build another building to put all our stuff. How many go, yeah, that's my house. There's things in your garage you can't even find. How many of your garage is supposed to be for cars, but it's full of a bunch of stuff? And you've been parking in the driveway for years because you know that garage is full of stuff, and your attic is full of stuff, the garage is full of stuff, the basement is... Hey, God bless us! Sometimes I got to buy this, and it's just in the garage for a few years, and you realize you probably didn't need it in the first place. Contentment is a wonderful thing to have. The Bible says you need to learn it. In whatsoever state I have learned to be content. Learn to be content. I see the example of care, the example of contentment. Could I go to verse 13, please? Now, I know the Bible says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Perhaps, my friends, this is the most taken out of context verse in all of Christianity. Some people think, well, I can do whatever I want in Christ. That's not what it says. The Bible verse says that you can do anything that God wants you to do. You can do anything that Christ wants you to do. And that's what it says. I thank the Lord for my dad. My dad is an Italian. He's a full-blooded Italian from Boston with a thick Boston accent who got saved when he found a track on the sidewalk. At the end of the missions conference, my mom and dad, I remember it well because I'm the oldest of four children. At the end of the missions conference, they were standing on this side of the pulpit. And they were looking at the pastor, and the pastor prayed over them. And they surrendered to be missionaries. My dad said, Lord, my confidence is not in myself, but if you're calling me, I'll do it. My confidence is in you. I thank the Lord for men and women who put their confidence in Christ and not in their own flesh. Sometimes our confidence is in the wrong place. Our confidence sometimes is in politics. That's a bad place to have your confidence. Sometimes our confidence is in election. If only this election will go the way I want it to. And you realize that after a few months, everything's just kind of still the same. Our confidence needs to be in Jesus Christ. Our confidence is the stability that Christ offers. can only be found in our Savior Jesus Christ. I see the joyful example of care, contentment, and confidence. Could I share this to you that I believe will be a great encouragement to you? As you consider the care for your missionaries and you consider what God's doing around the world, you can consider what I talked about in the first hour in Sunday school. Brother Warren was a young man that came to our church, and he was saved at age 12, and then he got on drugs, he got bitter. This story that I'm going to share to you really has two parts. So around the time that his mother was attending church, the four kids started attending church, but Warren started falling away from God. But his other three siblings, they would still come to church. And his mother stood up one day during the prayer meeting and said, "Pastor, I have a prayer request." And we're taking prayer requests, of course. And she said, "Pray for my husband. He's in jail." I said, "Okay, we'll pray for him." She said, "Oh, Pastor, you need to really pray for him. He's a tough man. He's tough. He's tough. He's hard-headed." How many of you are like, "Oh, that's me"? Okay, anyways. I said, "Okay, well, we'll pray for him." And I told her after the prayer meeting, I said, "Hey, I'm going to go to the jail to preach. I'm going to look for your husband." And she said, "Okay, that would be great." Well, I went to the jail. I believe it was the following Monday. And I looked for a guy named Tommy. Her husband's name is Tommy. I asked the people of the jail. I asked the jail guards and I asked some murderers that were sitting on the side, "Excuse me," and so forth. And they said, "Oh, Tommy, he's over there." And I went to the very top floor. And they said, "There's Tommy over there." And Tommy was sitting in the front row of the Bible study, waiting for the Bible study to start. And I was preaching at the Bible study that day. And I said, "That can't be the right Tommy." But I went up to him and sat down next to him and I said, "Hey, what are you reading there?" He said, "I'm reading the Bible." He had a Bible. And I said, "This cannot be the right Tommy. There must be more Tommies in the jail." And I said, "Can you tell me about why you're reading the Bible?" And he said, "Sir, I just got saved a couple of weeks ago. And I really got saved and I'm reading the Bible and everything's so different now." I said, "Well, amen." I said, "Well, how can I pray for you?" And he said, "Pray for me because my wife, she's not saved yet. And she's a tough one. She's hard-headed." And I said, "Pray for my kids. I have four kids." And I said, "Tell me where you're from." And he told me where he's from. And I said, I think I know your family." And we just saw how God answered prayer. And God saved that lady's husband in the jail. And there comes Warren. Warren's the oldest of the boys there. And Warren was really bitter at the Lord. And he fell away from God. And by the way, if you have a prodigal son or you have a prodigal daughter, keep on praying. Keep on being faithful. Warren came to church and said, "Pastor, I want to go to Bible college." I said, "Well, if you come to Bible college, I don't know if you make a good student. You know, you're drinking, you're smoking, you're doing all these things that you shouldn't be doing." And he said, "I want to go to Bible school." But I gave him the chance because God always gives us a chance. Amen? Aren't you glad for second chances? And I said, "But here's the thing. You are on probation and I'm your probation officer." He said, "Yes, Pastor, I'll take it." He went to Bible college. The first semester of Bible college, Warren would have cold sweat every night, getting those drugs out of his system. And if you know anything about that, I mean, it's a very tough time, that withdrawal phase. But after a few months, Warren was a new man. He let those drugs out of the system and got the Word of God in his system. Amen? And his life changed, a different person. But one night, Warren totally disappeared, and nobody knew where he went. I was shocked because I didn't want him to get back on drugs, and I'm his probation officer. Amen. So I asked around the other staff and the students, "Have you seen Warren?" And one of the girls in the Bible college, she said, "Oh, Pastor, I saw him in the back of the church." I said, "What was he doing?" She said, "Pastor, I'm sorry to tell you, but he was holding a can of glue." How many of you right now are thinking what I thought? I was thinking he couldn't find drugs, now he's sniffing glue. So the whole night I couldn't sleep properly. I was tossing and turning. I'd wake up and pray for him and then try to sleep, toss and turn. Finally, the sun came up. Went over to the church, and in the church we have our morning devotional. with our Bible college students and our staff. And here comes Warren walking in the door, just smiling, not a care in the world. I said, Warren, he's smiling. So I said, he must be high. You know, he's definitely high. I gave him a hug. I said, Warren, I love you. I said, hey, I know you're back on drugs. And he said, he pushed me away on my chest. And he said, no, what are you talking about, Pastor? I said, where were you last night? He said, that's what I've come here to tell you. He said, last night, by the way, his dad's out of jail. His dad's home now. He said, last night I was under such great conviction. You don't know, Pastor, but the past few weeks I've been running from God. God's calling me to the pastoral ministry, and I've been running from it. He said, I went home in the mountain to pray with my dad last night, and we prayed together, and I committed myself to the pastoral ministry. I surrendered. I said, amen. We hugged, we cried, we prayed, and we stood up, and I said, but I have one question. What were you doing with a can of glue? He said, I was just fixing my shoe. The sole came off. Well, shame on me for thinking something worse. The pessimist I am. And he said, who told you that? I said, it was Angie. And he said, huh. Can anybody guess what he did to that girl? Can anybody guess? He married her. Amen. And here's the blessing now. This is part of the blood, sweat, and tears of training national leadership. But Warren is now my assistant pastor in the Philippines. And he's doing a great work. He's a gifted young man, and he loves preaching the Word of God. Amen? And by the way, church, you're a part of that. You're a part of that. You've been praying, you've been giving, you've been supporting. That goes to your account. I think of the joyful example. And number two, I think of the joyful evaluation. The joyful evaluation. When we think of the word evaluation, we don't think of joy, do we? How many work in a secular job or construction or some kind of office, and there's an evaluation, and you're like, oh, awesome. Oh, this is so great. There's an evaluation. But those words don't match. But I want you to see something here. In verse 14, the Bible says, notwithstanding, ye have well done. The Apostle Paul has spiritual leadership. He's anointed. He's an apostle. So he has the right to say, church, well done. Can I ask you this question this morning? It's a very convicting question. But since we're on the topic of missions, if God were to evaluate your missions giving, individually, personally, would he say, well done? How many of you, when you get to heaven one day, you want to hear those words, well done? And I believe that's the most important. By the way, if that's the goal of your life, just to please the Lord, that at the end of your life, that you hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I'll just tell you this, it will be worth it all. And then when we see Jesus, it will be worth it all. And I think of the people at Philippi. I think of Lydia, the seller of purple, a demon-possessed, fortune-telling young lady who's now a Christian young lady, probably a young mother now. And then a jail guard who escaped with his wife and his children. And the Bible says that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, church, well done. Wow. I would love to hear those words. One of the things that I cannot really understand why is the Apostle Paul is in jail, but he writes about joy. And I believe this. I believe a life that is centered on getting out the gospel is a joyful life. A life that is centered, a life that your theme is to tell others about Jesus, to share about Jesus, to support the advancement of the gospel message, to preach Jesus. I believe that's a life that really brings real joy. Because nobody can take it away. No politician can take it away. No down economy can take that away. That is joy that will last forever. See a joyful example. I see a joyful evaluation. In this evaluation, there's accomplishment. You have well done. Also, within this evaluation, there's accommodation. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." So he says, well, even when I was church planting in Thessalonica, Church of Philippi, you gave, and over and over and over again, you supported the work of God. He said, you accommodated our needs. Thank you, church. I believe a church that has a heartbeat for missions is a church that is growing. You can't have a healthy church without obeying the command of the Great Commission. A healthy church needs to have that heartbeat of God. And the heartbeat of God is to see people saved. I don't know if you figured it out by now, but in the Philippines, there's a big drug problem. We don't have cartels. We have what they call fraternities. And they're pretty much like cartels, but without the transportation stuff. It's really funny. In our church, in the city, I'm gonna guess, but about 70 to 80% of our men have been formerly incarcerated. And then they got saved. A lot of our men in our church are covered in tattoos. Tattoos here, your praying hands here, you know. Rosary here, you know, Hello Kitty here, you know, and you got to have a soft side, you know. Anyways, but our church is just amazing, and I think what God's doing, you know, the men in our church think that all churches are like that. They really do. It's like all churches, the men must have been in jail for a long time. No, it's just our area is a drug infested area, and they're really used to it. We had one man that came to church one day, and his coming to church was the culmination of 8 years of prayer. See, he's the father of one of our members in the church. And for 8 years, we would pray for him to come to church and be saved and come to church and be saved and come to church. And I think about his daughter who always prayed and never gave up and always prayed and never gave up. She even had a nice polo shirt, a collared shirt, and she had a nice pair of slacks, dress pants. For her dad, if he ever wanted to come to church, she had the shoes already signed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and prayed, and prayed, and finally they came to church. His name is Roberto. Now, when I mention Roberto, he's the kind of guy that was covered in tattoos. See, Roberto was not the neighborhood drunk. That would be a compliment. Roberto was the neighborhood meth head. Roberto was the neighborhood, could I just say this so you understand? He was the neighborhood crackhead. His whole life he's on drugs, strung out on drugs. He would be in the ditch sleeping all day. Flies over him, you know, covered in tattoos. His teeth were all grinded out from always being high. People get high, they grind their teeth out. But one day he said to his daughter, he said, "I'm going to go to church with you." And he came to church. Everybody was shocked. I was shocked. Oh, well, Roberto's here. He smiled, but there's no teeth in him. Amen. You know what happened to Roberto? Roberto got saved. And he was reading the Bible. He was enjoying. He's walking with God. The same thing with him. He had withdrawals as well. And his withdrawals lasted much longer. One day he had a phone call from his, let's just call, supplier. His supplier said, "Hey, you haven't, you know, we're not doing business lately." He said, "I'm saved now. I'm a Christian." His supplier said, "Well, what is that?" He said, "Well, just come to church on Sunday and find out." So there he was. There was Roberto, and now there's Jojo. Jojo looks like him, just much younger. And he said, "Pastor, my visitor." I said, "Who is he?" He said, "My business partner." Okay. Oh, amen. Jojo got saved. After Jojo got saved, it was a very strange thing. I don't understand it. I didn't grow up there. There's a lot of culture I don't understand. But after Jojo got saved, he didn't go back home. He stayed with Roberto. And they would read the Bible together. They would pray. They would discuss things. And they started growing together. One day, Jojo said, "Pastor, can I talk to you?" I said, "What is it, Jojo?" He said, "Pastor, I'm saved and I got baptized." And he said, "I'm reading my Bible, but I have to tell you something." He said, "I'm running from the law. I'm on the list of the most wanted on the island." I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" I'm thinking, well, the police are going to give us, they're going to raid our church service looking for you. He said, well, that's the thing, Pastor. He said, it's very hard for me to grow in the Lord and to grow in grace. I read my Bible, but I'm looking over my shoulder. I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, I have no choice. I'm going to turn myself in. I said, all right, we'll pray for you. I said, are you going to be okay? He said, as long as I have my Bible, I'll be okay. I said, all right, we'll pray for you. He went to the jail. You can't make this up. He went to the jail, and he got there, and he said, hello, I'm here to turn myself in. And you know what they said? They said, who are you? Look, that's my picture on the wall. You know? And the police officer, huh, look at that. Yeah, it's you. And the police officer said, well, it's lunchtime right now. Could you come back later after lunch? And he said, sure, I'll do that. And, I think the guy was Gomer Pyle. I don't know if he was running the place, but or whoever that was, that guy at the Andy Griffith, whoever that was. Was it Barney? Yeah, sounded like Barney was running the police station. Well, could you come back later? Okay, and he came back later, and he restored himself. And then for the next 8 months, we haven't heard from him. He was in jail, didn't have a cell phone, but he brought his Bible with him, and they let him keep his Bible. After 8 months in the prison system, the warden said, who's the man who's having Bible studies all day? He's just preaching, having Bible studies. Who is that man? And they said, that's Jojo. And the warden said, is he here on a violent crime? They said, just drug dealing, sir. He said, give him his papers, let him go. And he was released. He showed up at church. We were having church service, and Jojo walked in. And I was shocked. I was like, Jojo, what are you doing here? I was thinking he jumped the fence, you know. He maybe there was highway cleanup and he ran away. I don't know what happened. And he said, don't worry, Pastor. I have my papers. I'm free. I'm free. And God blessed him. Listen, you can't make this stuff up, but God's doing a great thing in the Philippines. I think of the Apostle Paul and the joy he must have had knowing that the guys like Jojo and Roberto were now funding him. They were investing in him, in his mission work. What a blessing. I look here today and I can only assume that there's some former alcoholics in here, that God touched you and your life has changed. There are some people that maybe you had a broken family, maybe you had a broken marriage, but you know, God's working, God's doing something good, and you're still faithful. Stick with it. You know, when we're in heaven one day, it's going to be a sweet story to know that all that God has done around the world. And the Apostle Paul knew that this feeling of joy that he had was not something that anybody could take away. It could only be, it was given by God, and therefore nobody could take it away. A joyful example, a joyful evaluation, and last of all, I know you like that phrase, last of all. If you look at verse 17, the Bible says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Church, when you see each missionary on these walls, that is fruit that abounds to your account. You're going to be in heaven one day, and you're going to be walking the streets of gold, and you're going to be thanking the Lord for the blood of Christ. You're going to be thanking that we serve a risen Savior, and there's going to be a young Filipino boy from Philippines that says, hello, sir, thank you for sending our missionary. And you're going to be walking down the street, and there's going to be somebody from Germany, and he will say, Danke schön. And you're going to be walking down the street, somebody from Mexico that says, gracias. And they say, thank you for being part of missions and sending a missionary that brought me the gospel. There's a joyful effect. The effect is threefold. Let me cover it quickly. Look at verse 17. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. The first effect is the abundance of blessing. There's great blessing on a church and a giver when you're part of world missions. There's great blessing. If you look down at verse 18, another effect, the second effect. I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice. Notice the next three words, well-pleasing to God. How many understand that when we give our missions offerings, and when we give to world missions, the Bible says it goes up to the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor. The Bible uses the word odor. Our vernacular in 2025 does not mean sweet odor. When you hear the word odor, we think of bad smell, but that's not what it meant. It's a sweet smell. It goes up to God, and God is pleased with it. It lets the Lord know that we are on His side. Well, Lord, I'm not here to build my kingdom, Lord. I'm here to build Your kingdom. The last effect here, I see the abundance of blessings, the aroma of obedience. Look at the last effect, verse 19. The assurance of God's promise. The assurance of God's promise. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply. Notice those words. Shall supply all your what? Need according to His what? Riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Mark it down that when God makes a promise, His character determines that His promises will be true. Our future is as bright as the promises of God. God has never let us down yet. God has never failed us yet. There has never been one promise that God did not keep. We have a covenant-keeping God. We have a promise-keeping God. And we're here today to tell you that we have a God that shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's God's promise. Somebody said to me before, how did your church get started there in the Philippines? So, well, my mom and dad, they came here first. I was in college at Pensacola, and they came there first, and God worked in me of my call to personally to be a missionary. So I said to my mom and dad, I said, why did you choose this barrio, this village, this place? Why? And my mom and dad said, I don't know, the Lord just led us. I said to myself, not good enough. I want to know why. So I began to ask each charter member their story. Could you tell me your story? And I couldn't find the source of how they got to the Philippines and how they got to that place until I met Conchita. Conchita was a senior lady. She was 60 plus years old. She was a very sweet, godly lady. I said, could you tell me about how you came to this church? She said, oh, Pastor, I've been wanting to tell somebody. Can I tell you what happened? I said, sure. She said, around November 2002. She said, I was doing what I always do. I was a devoted Roman Catholic. My job, my responsibility was to go to the chapel. I would dust the idols. I would wipe the idols. I would clean the idols. And then I would mop the floor. I would sweep the floor. I would wipe down the tables. I would wipe down the lectern that the priest was going to use and the candlesticks and everything. I would keep it all clean and get it ready for the 6 o'clock a.m. Mass. Or Mass. I said, okay, so what happened? She said, one day, I was dusting Mary. I was dusting her, and I looked up at her. I said, Mary, you have never answered my prayers yet. I've been praying to you for decades. You have never answered one prayer. Are you even listening? And she said, I don't know if it's proper, and I don't know if it's right, but I'm skipping you today, and I'm praying directly to God. She said, for the first time in my life, I prayed to God directly. I said, well, what did you pray? She said, this is what I prayed. She said, God, I don't know you. I really don't know you. But this is what she said. But God, I want to know you. I want to know you. And she cried. She prayed very sincerely. She said, amen. And then went back to dusting the idols. That's all she knew. She said, 2 months later, she was in her house doing what mothers do. I don't know, crocheting or doing dishes. I don't know what she was doing. But she said she heard from a distance, she heard that the neighbors have a visitor. Interesting. And you know, as good neighbors do, she listened very carefully, you know. Huh. She couldn't quite hear what they were saying, but about 5 minutes later, the knock got closer. And it was the house next to her, and she was trying to listen. She didn't understand what was going on. She heard people talking. She said she assumed somebody is going door to door selling chili or something. I don't know what they do. Okay, but then she said, "Huh, interesting." But then all of a sudden, the knock came to her door, and she was confused. She didn't know what was going on. She opened the door, and it was my mom and dad. And my mom said to her in the native language, she said, "We are missionaries. We just got here a few weeks ago, and we are here to tell people about God. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And she began to cry. And this is what she said. She said, "Come in. I've been expecting you." Can I ask you, is the gospel worth it? Is it worth it to invest in the gospel? There's eternities that are changed. People's destinations are forever changed because of our partnership in the gospel ministry. I don't know about you, but that's what really brings me real joy. Not seeing the ball team win. A field goal is worth 3 points. Wow, next year there's another champion anyway. Big deal. But you know what lasts forever? A soul. That's what lasts forever. What brings real joy? The Apostle Paul was sitting in a dark, damp dungeon. And all he can think about is people being saved and the joy that is overflowing because of missions. I hope and pray that you can experience the same joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we love you and we thank you for the Word of God this morning. I pray, Lord, for that joy that the Apostle Paul preached about and he spoke about in Philippians. Help us to have that joy. Help us to understand the privilege and the responsibility we have in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to see people saved. Lord, would you allow our heartbeat to be synced to your heartbeat to reach the world with the gospel? We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.